All right, so today we're looking at John chapter 11. We'll be looking at verses 11 through 37. If you want to follow along in your Bible, on your Bible app, we'll also have the reading on the screen behind me when we get to it. So parents or grandparents, aunts and uncles, y'all might have this same experience where one of your children, your niece, your nephew, your grandkids, they start crying over something really silly, right? And there's that that intake of air where they don't breathe for several seconds before they let out a loud wail, you know? you know, are you supposed to laugh when they do that? No. And sometimes I do laugh when my kids do that, basically because what they're crying about might be silly. There's times when they're hurt and you can tell, and that's when you know you don't laugh. But in a moment like that, you know, it isn't very comforting to laugh at them, is it? No, it's not very compassionate either. Jesus is entering into a moment of grief in the life of some of his friends here. So we're talking about the story of Lazarus, his sisters, Mary and Martha, and they're dealing with the grief of Lazarus passing away. And Jesus enters into that situation, and they think that he lacked compassion for them and for their brother. But they're wrong. So let's look today at John chapter 11, starting in verse 11. It says this: "After saying these things, he said to them, 'Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him.' The disciples said to him, 'Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover.' Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he meant taking a rest and sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, 'Lazarus has died. And for your sake, I am glad that I was not there so that you may believe. But let us go.' So Thomas called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, 'Let's also go that we may die with him.' Now when Jesus came, he found Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off. And many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, 'Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you.' And Jesus said to her, 'Your brother will rise again.' And Martha said to him, 'I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day.' Jesus said to her, 'I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?' She said to him, 'Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world.' When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, 'The teacher is here and is calling for you.' And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were with her in the house consoling her saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, 'Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died.' When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, 'Where have you laid him?' They said to him, 'Lord, come and see.' Jesus wept. So the Jews said, 'See how he loved him.' But some of them said, 'Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying?' And this is the word of the Lord. Praise be to God. Lazarus died. I mean, it says so in verse 11. Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him. The disciples didn't quite get it when he said this. The disciples said to him, 'Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover.' Now Jesus had spoken of the death, but they thought he meant taking a rest. And then Jesus told them plainly, he needed to say it plainly, Lazarus died. And so here is, you know, this friend that they all knew because they'd spent time with Lazarus and his sisters in their home. It talked about Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus and listening to him while Martha was up and working and trying to keep things going on around him as a servant. So Jesus knew them, and so did the disciples. And he's saying that Lazarus fell asleep, and they don't quite grasp what Jesus is saying until Jesus says it very plainly. Right? And then as we continue in that passage, it looks like Jesus is without compassion. In verse 15 it says, "And for your sake, I'm glad I was not there. I'm glad I didn't go there. I'm glad I didn't stop Lazarus from dying, and so that you may believe, but let us go." You know, there were people in this passage that didn't believe that death was something that Jesus could overcome. Right? And so it's probably the same for his disciples and Mary and Martha. Basically, they're saying, you know what, Jesus, if you had come while he was sick, you could have fixed it. Right? But now that he's died, you know, that's so permanent. You can't fix it now. Right? In verse 37, it says, "But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying?" So Jesus could have stopped death, but he can't overcome death. But he healed the blind man, so we know he has power. So he could have come into the situation where Lazarus was sick before death and it healed him in that moment. And so Jesus sees the grief of the people, Mary and Martha, his friends. He sees them grieving. And he goes there with them. And in verse 35 it says he wept. So it doesn't say that he just shed a tear. It doesn't say that he was a little forlorn or just a little bit sad. It says he wept. So why did he weep in this moment? Well, he was sad for the ones that were sad. He was sad for them. Mary and Martha. It said Mary came and fell at his feet. Mary came and fell at his feet. She said the same thing that Martha said to him. You know, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And she's weeping and she's crying, and her friends with her are weeping and crying. And because they were sad, Jesus wept. He was also sad for his friend who had suffered. He's sad for Lazarus and what Lazarus had to go through. Right? He was also sad for the world. This isn't how things are supposed to be. And he knows that. He knows that the world is broken. And that grief comes into situations like this. People aren't supposed to die. That's not the way this is supposed to work. And so Jesus is grieving over what sin has done to the world. It's brought death and pain and suffering. And so he's sad over that as well. There's another time when he wept in Scripture in Luke 14. Verses 41 through 44, it says, "And when he drew near and saw the city, Jerusalem, he wept over it, saying, Would that you, even you, had known on this day the things that make for peace. But now they are hidden from your eyes, for the day will come upon you when your enemies will set up a barricade around you and surround you and hem you in on every side and tear you down to the ground and your children within you. And they will not leave one stone upon another in you, because you did not know the time of your visitation." Jerusalem, people of God, had lost sight of the promises that God had made them. Right? And they were living in a way that was unhonoring to God. They were living in a broken estate. They had sinned and they had fallen away from God. And that brought grief to Jesus, because that's not the way is supposed to be. It's not. Right? Just as much as it's not supposed to be that death and suffering and pain are in the world, you know, God's people aren't supposed to fall away from him either. And that grieves him and he weeps over it. They'd lost sight of the fact that God promised that he would bring an end to the pain and suffering in the world. And so when we look at the estate of where we are, we have to go back to Adam. And we have to say, okay, sin entered into the world when Adam first sinned. And what happened in that moment is that everything in the world, Everything in creation got broken and bent and disheveled. That wasn't what was supposed to be in God's creation. It wasn't supposed to be messed up. But because of sin, it became messed up. And so when we look at the situation where Jesus is here and he's saying, you know what, I am weeping with this family, it's because God does not intend for these things to happen in his creation, but it was broken. It was messed up. And Jesus came to fix it. He came to fix it. The last 3 weeks have been kind of something that I don't necessarily want to ever go through again. So my grandmother was sick. She's been dealing with a brain injury for several years now. So I went to visit her 2 or 3 weeks ago just to say goodbye. Because I think she had gotten to the point where, you know, death was better than the struggle she was going through. And she went into hospice. And so I got there and I got to talk with her and spend a little time, you know, conversing. She was in and out of consciousness. And so I came home. And then after I got home, about 2 days later, I heard that she passed away. And then I went back and I did the funeral. And I don't know pastors that, I don't know many pastors that did a funeral for somebody that they loved, but it was tough. It was tough. It was really, it was kind of, it's one of those moments I don't want to repeat. Right? I was honored to be able to do it. She was special to me. She was special to a lot of people, but for me, it was a special moment. But yeah. And then I came home, and then I had to do another funeral this week. And so I would ask that y'all would pray for the Avery family. Alan's dad passed away. And so, you know, I've been kind of surrounded and hemmed in by grief in the last 3 weeks. And I will say this, at any moment, tears can start flowing. You know, we were singing just a minute ago, and I was tearing up. Just hearing about the good news of Christ and what he's done for us. I've done more funerals as a pastor than I ever thought I would do already. And I haven't been a pastor that long. The thing that hits me most, the thing that can make me ugly cry, y'all know what ugly crying is, right? Where you just like melt, right? The thing that can make me ugly cry is seeing other people cry. Entering into that grief with someone else. It really just, it breaks my heart. And that's what Jesus is doing in this situation. He's entering into grief with these people that he knows and that he loves. And he's feeling that emotion. Because this is a friend of his who has gone through this. You know, I was talking about things that make me ugly cry. Seeing other people cry. I take a little bit of grief because one of my favorite movies, if not my favorite movie, is Steel Magnolias, right? Do y'all know Truvy in the movie, Dolly Parton's character? At some point, somebody was crying in the salon, and she goes, I have a strict policy. Nobody cries alone in my presence, right? That's me. Jesus can empathize with everything we have ever been through. We empathize with one another when we're going through grief, when we're going through excitement. We can enter into that together because we've experienced it at other times, and it's good to do that together. But Jesus can empathize with everything we've ever been through. He's been there too. He weeps on our grief. In Hebrews 4, verses 14 through 16, it says, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Jesus came down from the right hand of God the Father in heaven and came into the mess that this world is. And he lived among us. And he experienced everything we experience except for sin. So he experienced pain, experienced suffering, experienced grief and sickness and decay. He went through all of that. So when we're dealing with that grief and that suffering and that pain that surrounds us, Jesus is right there saying, I'm weeping with you. Because yes, this isn't what it's supposed to be. We see that, and that's why we're sad. And that's why Jesus was sad, but he fixes it. I'm going to ruin the story for you guys, right? I didn't read all the way through it, but he raises Lazarus from the dead. He does. He says, Lazarus, come forth. And boom, what happens? He walks out. He's still got the stuff around him, like he's still wrapped in the cloths, and he comes out and he says, unwrap him. And at first they told him, don't do it because he stinks. But he comes out and he's alive again. And what does that do? That gives us a glimpse into his character. It gives us a glimpse of who he really is. He is God, who not only has the power to heal, but the power to overcome death. He has the power to overcome this thing that people didn't think he had the power to overcome. He is the completion of God's promises. In verses 25 and 26, it says, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. That is so glorious. And when Adam first sinned, God said, you know what? I'm going to fix it. He said, I'm going to put enmity between the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman, and the seed of the man is going to crush the head of the serpent. And that's who Jesus is. Jesus comes in and he takes all the evil that was ever created and he turns it on its head and makes it right again. And how does he do it? He accomplished it by coming and living sinlessly in a world that is full of sin. Living obediently to God, so that through his obedience, those who have faith in him will be forgiven by his shed blood on the cross. Everything that's broken, he makes right again. Through Christ, all the things that the world grieves become untrue, even death. Jesus showed great compassion in his death on the cross. He showed the ultimate power over death in his resurrection. And he demonstrated that one day the things that we grieve will cease to exist. They will. Pain, suffering, death, heartache, rejection. There's a movie that made me ugly cry on Netflix. It's called The Long Goodbye. I don't know if you've seen it. If you can enter into it, it's a great movie to see. But it's about a pastor and his wife. It's more about the wife of the pastor. And they're from Colorado Springs. And she is diagnosed with cancer, and she fights with the cancer, and they believe it went into remission. And she goes back to a doctor for a routine checkup, and they find something wrong in the scans. And I say, tell her that her cancer's coming back, and it is terminal. I believe over the next, I think it's a 6-month time period, she struggles with coming to grips with the death, but also explaining it to her children and her friends and her husband. But all the while holding on to that hope that Jesus is right there with me. And I know that this is a long goodbye. Not just in the amount of time that she got to share with everybody and to walk with them in their grief. But, you know, there's a separation for a time. It's a long goodbye. Could you imagine, you know, having young kids and having to explain to them that mommy's going to die? I'm not going to be there for you when you get married. when you have kids, right? But guess where I'm going to be? I'm going to be with God the Father. And I'm going to pray for you right now that y'all will know the love of God so that you know that after this long goodbye, there's going to be a glorious reunion. I told you. It was close. That sad moment. I've used this illustration. I used it at the service the other day. Growing up, we lived about 12 hours away from my grandparents, my Gigi and my Papa. And we would go there every summer. And it was awesome. We would go there every summer and hang out. And we'd spend several weeks, if not a month, down there. And then, you know, you'd have that sad moment where you have to go home, right? And my grandmother, she would go out and wipe the dew off the windows and the mirrors because we would leave really early in the morning. She would pack us a bag of goodies. And then as we were driving off, she would stand at the end of the driveway until we couldn't see her anymore while we were waving at each other. And there were often tears in that. And it was because there was going to be a long amount of time before we would be able to see each other again. Right? And so in those moments where we're grieving for somebody who has passed away, it is that there is going to be a separation. There's going to be a long amount of time when we're not going to see them again. But the cool thing about that goodbye was that meant there was always going to be this happy moment where we got to get back together again. And so through our faith in Jesus Christ, though we may die, we know that there's going to be a separation. There's going to be a time where we're going to have to say goodbye. But we know that one day we're going to be reunited with Christ. Right? I look forward to that day when I finally get to meet my Savior. I know Him because of the love that He has shown to me and the fact that He has given us the Scriptures to know who He is. I know Him. I have faith in Him. I have confidence that one day when I die, I will be with Him. Hopefully He will return before I have to go through that process. But, I do know that when I die, I will immediately be with Him in heaven. Jesus said it to the man, to the thief on the cross. You know, today you will be with me in paradise. Today. You know, He didn't have to go through all the rituals of life. The thief on the cross, He didn't have to be baptized. He didn't have to, you know, He didn't have to go to church every Sunday or anything like that. Right? But He professed faith in Jesus Christ, and Jesus said, "Your faith ensures that you will be with me in heaven this day. We will be reunited with Christ. We will be reunited with our loved ones. And this is why we should share the good news of the gospel with urgency. Because wouldn't it be glorious to see everyone we know? Everyone we come into contact with, everyone we love and cherish, wouldn't it be glorious to see them on that day? And the way for us to ensure that is to help them to know who Christ is and what He's done for them. Share your faith, because faith in Christ is life-bringing. I am the resurrection and the life. If you believe in me, you'll have eternal life. Jesus brings comfort in sorrow and grief and suffering and in pain to all those who have faith in Him. Amen. Let's pray. God, there are so many sad days in this life. But there are also those times where we get those glorious glimpses of who You are and what You do for us. You have loved us with a compassion that we cannot understand. And so we are grateful. Grateful that You love us more than we ever dared to dream. God, we pray. We pray for Your return. Come to us. But we also pray with hope as we grieve, knowing that as we place our faith in You, You bring comfort especially knowing that one day we will be with you in paradise. So today, make all things that are broken and bent and messed up untrue. Help us to live for you in everything that we do. Help us to share the truth of the gospel with everyone that needs to hear, so that we will have that glorious reunion one day in heaven. God, we pray all these things in your matchless name. Amen.